It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okmanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter, and that's some
Colbert.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Wednesday edition of the show underway. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks for being here. It is July 6th of 2022. And that was a really nice win by the Cubs that you heard right here this afternoon on The Fan. Post-game with Zach Zabin wrapping up just before the top of the hour. The former Iowa Cub farmhand, P.J. Higgins, with the clutch hit there with two outs in the ninth. Drives in Patrick Wisdom for the go-ahead run. A 2-1 win, and the Brewers rolling Corbin Burnes and Josh Hader out there today. A couple of their best arms. So, that, like I mentioned, I mean, there's your context for what was a really good Cubs win. Arguably maybe the best one of the season so far, for whatever the hell that's worth. But nonetheless, we're off and rolling here on a Wednesday edition of the show. And we will talk some baseball coming up today. First things first, though, however you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at the all-new 1650thefan.com, I appreciate it. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. Intern David Warrington alongside today. David, what's your Twitter handle? Maybe we can get you a follower.
Twitter handle's at DWAR1314, DWARR1314.
That's not an easy one to give over the air.
No, it's not.
It's not a on-air friendly Twitter handle. So it's DWAR2Rs1314. I got
correct.
That right?
Yes.
That's like something that should be your password for like this when you log on to the Social Security website .gov. Like that's That should be your password. That's got some strength to it. They would approve that one. But somebody out there, show David some love. He's been doing great work for us this summer. Many of you heard him doing the Columbus baseball and softball regular season games here on The Fan. And very soon, it looks like David will be right back out there calling some postseason baseball and softball. And as you might imagine, we got a lot to get to today on the show with regard to results from last night. Results from, or at least a result from, a postponement that resumed today, a whole bunch of postseason softball tonight, and as it concerns the majority of the Metro, Waterloo West, East, Cedar Falls, still wrapping up, at least on the baseball side of things, wrapping up the regular season. So David will be back alongside here shortly with area sports news and scores today. But just to wrap it up here, make sure you on the particulars anyways, make sure that you follow us on or like the Facebook page. Type in 1650 The Fan. You'll find us. And check out that website. It is not only where you can stream the station, but also where you get the podcast of this show and all sorts of local and statewide sports content. A lot of the content that we bring you to begin each show in area sports news and scores finds its way onto the website. So if you can't wait or if you're wondering, that's where you can find it. So bookmark it. Make it a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web. If you want to dial us up with any questions or comments to add to the show today, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. You could also email the show. Perhaps you'd rather do that than call, by all means. Email address is Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. As I mentioned, David will be here soon with what's going on across the state and in our area. After we're done there, we take timeout number one, get you a CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this Wednesday, looking into tomorrow and Friday. Yesterday, David, I would say that was the hottest day we've had so far this year. Would you concur?
No doubt about it, yeah.
Oh, man, I played slow pitch softball last night. And maybe this says something about me and my fashion. I know it's not great, but I'm a baseball guy, so I've got those, like, you know, like what every baseball or softball coach wears, those short-sleeve batting jackets?
Yeah.
They're like, you know, windbreaker style, but they're short-sleeve, and it's like it's got the quarter zip style zipper, you know? I was like, okay, I don't want to wear like a cotton shirt because I was filling in on a team, so I didn't have their jersey, right? So, like, I didn't want to wear a cotton shirt. My jersey, you know, was dirty. That's like the good breathable type stuff. Full disclosure, there's a couple old gym shirts that I'm too heavy to wear now that maybe could have done the job. So I went with the baseball batter's coach's jacket with nothing underneath of it, just the windbreaker right up against the skin. And you know what? If you think that's weird, fine. But that's what I rocked. And then bottom of the second inning, or top of the second inning, because we were the home team, I looked down, and right in that chest area, you know, where it all pools together, just sweating. And all I think I had ran to the outfield once, batted once, didn't have to run too hard, and then, like, caught a fly ball. And I may as well have been jumped in the pool. It was epic Iowa heat last night, and there was just no wind moving at all. And if anybody's that curious, yes, we got the win last night. Made two outstanding plays, if I must say so myself, in the outfield. What's new? Of course, the epic Iowa heat gave way to epic Iowa thunderstorms last night. And hat tip to our Scott Fensloff here for breaking in and helping keep people safe that were in the listening area. Obviously, I know that breaks into Cubs coverage, but, you know, if you can just help keep one person out of danger, that's what makes it all worth it. And as I understand it, a little touch and go in terms of, you know, some people in some pockets of Cedar Falls and Waterloo. It was kind of, I guess if you can call it that, standard thunderstorm type stuff. And then other places got some straight line winds that knocked down some tree branches and things of that nature and knocked out power. So hopefully everything's coming back together today for anybody that was affected by that storm last night. And it sounded like it could have been a lot worse. David, I don't know if you saw this. Did you see there was a derecho watch or a derecho warning that came out?
Yeah, I did see that. And back in my hometown of Central City in the Cedar Rapids area, we were kind of having some bad flashbacks.
I was going to say, you've told me your derecho story, and it's a scary story. So glad to see that. At the very least, we didn't have to experience anything like that again. But I suppose that's a thing now, derecho watches and derecho warnings. You get older and the world changes, I suppose. But that's enough about the weather. Back to sports. Today on the show, after that first break, we get you the CBS Sports Flash, the VSiN Action Update, the forecast. We'll come back and Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register will join the show. Follow him on Twitter, at Tommy Burch. Caught up with him today talking about a big story at ESPN, an exclusive they had with Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred, who said before the next season begins, the 2023 Major League Baseball season, that he wants to have the pitch clock and a shift ban, a defensive shift ban, in place. And not only that, but before the following season in 2024, he wants to have the robot umpires in as well. So had to get Tommy on the horn and talk about that today because he's encountered this stuff. The pitch clock, the robot strike zone, these larger bases that are out there now for player safety and also a little bit to try to encourage base stealing, small ball, things of that nature. And we're in the throes of summer of baseball and softball. So I thought it was only right to get Tommy on the show, and we'll hear from him in the next segment today. After we're done there, we'll take the time out near the bottom of the hour, get you Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim, Come back on the other side of that break. Me and David will unpack the conversation I had with Tommy Burch. And I haven't seen David since UCLA and USC looked at Oklahoma and Texas last week and said, here, hold my beer, and made the jump to the Big Ten. So I want to get his perspective, the young man's perspective, because yesterday on the show, as I was telling him earlier when he got here, I was talking to friends about it this weekend, but we're all older, and my friends I was referencing, even older than I am. So we'll see what a big college football fan, but a young one at that, David Warrington, thinks about all this. And it's also incredibly fluid, and there's just so many ways to talk about it. You could spend so many entire shows talking about just that issue, but it definitely deserves coverage, and we'll continue the conversation today in the third segment. After we're done there, of course, we take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, along with Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, come back and wrap up the show. David, area sports news and scores, the floor is yours. Take it away.
Yesterday in high school athletics involving Metro schools in baseball, this is regular season high school athletics in baseball, Cedar Falls split a doubleheader with Cedar Rapids Kennedy. Kennedy won game one 14-3, but the Tigers won the nightcap 2-0. Iowa City High took a pair of games from Waterloo West 10-0 and were ahead 7-0 in the bottom of the third when the game was called due to weather. And Waterloo East split a doubleheader with Iowa City Liberty. The Trojans won the first game 3-2, but dropped the second game 16-1. And in softball, Iowa City Liberty rallied to beat Cedar Falls 7-5, and Waterloo East beat Iowa City West 10-5. The high school baseball playoffs continued last night with Class 1A and 2A district semifinal games. In Area 2A games, Williamsburg ended Waterloo Columbus' season 6-5. Dyke New Hartford defeated Applington Parkersburg 8-3, and Jessup rolled past Sumner Fredericksburg 8-1. Two Area 2A games were affected by the weather and got underway just about 12 minutes ago at the top of the hour. Union at West Marshall and Grundy Center hosting Roland Story. In an Area 1A matchup last night, North Tama downed Hudson 7-3. Four other Area 1A games were either suspended or postponed because of the weather and will be played today. They include Don Bosco taking on Glenbrook Rhinebeck at North Tama. That game was resumed at 3:30 with Don Bosco trailing 9-5, but the Dons rallied to win 11-10. Janesville at Edgewood, Colesburg, and Nashville Plainfield at St. Ansgar both just got underway at the top of the hour. And Dunkerton will play at Lansing Key at 7 o'clock. High school softball postseason play continues tonight with regional quarterfinal games in classes 1A, 2A, and 3A. In Area 1A games, Don Bosco hosts Turkey Valley. Ninth-ranked Clarksville is hosting Janesville. North Butler is at Riceville. And AGWSR plays at Fort Dodge St. Edmunds. In Area 2A regional quarterfinal games, Waterloo Columbus hosts Albernette. Dyke New Hartford is at home against Jessup. Wapsie Valley is at East Marshall. Grundy Center is hosting Pleasantville, and Denver travels to Iowa City Regina. And in Area 3A games, Independence will host Union, and Sumner Fredericksburg will entertain Olwine. Tonight in high school baseball involving Metro schools, both Cedar Falls and Waterloo West will finish their regular season schedules with non-conference matchups. The 4A 8th-ranked Tigers will host Waverly Shellrock, while the Wallhawks have a game at home against Decorah. The NICL Central All-Conference baseball team has been released. First-team honorees include pitchers Will Texter of Dyke New Hartford and Nick Merrifield of Waterloo Columbus, Dyke New Hartford catcher Nick Reinecke, first baseman Andrew Gaudian of Hudson, third baseman Caleb Hamm of Hudson, middle infielders Gus Varney of Dyke New Hartford and Waterloo Columbus's Carter Gallagher. Outfielders are Thomas Steele of Waterloo Columbus, Devin Kolosh of Dyke New Hartford, and Tate Niemeyer of Applington Parkersburg. Utility players are Hudson's Camden Davis and Chase McEwen of Denver. Dyke New Hartford's Gus Varney and Waterloo Columbus's Carter Gallagher received co-MVP recognition, and the coach of the year is Dyke New Hartford's Jordan Martin. The 2022 preseason All-Big 12 football team was released today by the Big 12 Conference, and four Iowa State Cyclones were recognized. On offense, tight end Jared Russ, wide receiver Xavier Hutchinson, and offensive lineman Trevor Downing were all named to the preseason team. Defensively, defensive end Will McDonald IV was named to the team as well. McDonald is coming off a season in which he was named first-team All-American as well as Big 12 Co-Defensive Lineman of the Year after leading the conference in sacks for the second consecutive season, finishing with 11.5. The UNI basketball team will be in Kansas City Thanksgiving week. The Panthers will be competing in the Hall of Fame Classic November 21st and 22nd at the T-Mobile Center. In addition to Northern Iowa, the four-team field includes Wichita State, San Francisco, and Grand Canyon. All four schools finished among the top 100 in the final net rankings last season. San Francisco won 24 games and reached the NCAA tournament. Grand Canyon notched its fifth 20-win season in 7 years, and Wichita State went 15-13. Brackets will be released at a later date. It's being reported that recent Iowa women's basketball recruit Ava Jones and her family were badly injured in a car crash in Louisville, Kentucky. Jones, a 6 foot 2 inch forward from Nickerson, Kansas, committed to Iowa on Sunday. She's entering her senior season. A Louisville TV station reports that two adults are in critical condition and one teen girl, believed to be Jones, is in serious but stable condition. A young boy was treated for minor injuries. Last year as a junior, Jones averaged 20.8 points and 15 rebounds per game as Nickerson High School finished fourth in the state. And last but not least, the Waterloo Bucks will begin their second half of the season tonight as they play at La Crosse. It was a forgettable first half for the Bucks, who finished in last place in the Northwoods League Great Plains East Division with a record of 9-25. Game time this evening is at 6:35.
All right, is that a wrap? That's a wrap. Okay, I'm sorry. Never mind. All right, moving on. We'll take this time out. I'll tell you what, that story about Ava, that's an absolute heartbreaker. Thoughts and prayers out to her family for a speedy recovery there. But maybe we'll get to what I was just looking at there that caused for the terrible transition to commercial. But it just seems like there's bigger things in the world than what I was just looking at, petty in comparison. So let's take this time out. We'll come back. We'll talk Major League Baseball rule changes with Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register. That's next on this Wednesday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
And they get your present. This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. What do your home and auto have in common? They're yours, and Progressive protects them both. Bundle today at Progressive.com. Baker Mayfield is finally out of Cleveland, going to the Carolina Panthers for a conditional fifth-round pick in 2024. Mayfield is the second quarterback from the 2018 NFL draft to be acquired by the Panthers in as many years, joining former third overall pick Sam Darnold. Baseball action today, and there was lots of it this afternoon, and it is now a final in Milwaukee, where the Cubs get past a terrific start from Corbin Burns, who went seven scoreless innings, struck out 10, giving up just three hits, and they get a run in the eighth and the ninth to beat the Brewers by a score of 2-1. Also today in Detroit, it was the Tigers over the Guardians big by a score of 8-2. Top of the ninth, Minnesota and the White Sox are now tied at 8. Jorge Polanco with a pair of home runs in this one for Minnesota. Gio Urshela has added his eighth. Andrew Vaughn also adding his eighth for the White Sox. And bottom of the seventh, Toronto and Oakland are even at 1. Matt Chapman and Ramon Laureano swapping solo home runs. I'm Rich Ackerman.
Have a take. The Jim Rome Show. Weekday afternoons on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio. Don't grill and chill without us this summer. Tell your smart speaker to play 1650 The Fan.
Get excited. Iowa Irish Fest is back. You can't miss the 16th annual Iowa Irish Fest in downtown Waterloo, August 5th through 7th. Experience the finest Irish cultural event in the Midwest with premier musical acts, including headliners, the Red Hot Chili Pipers, Gaelic Storm, and the High Kings. Sign up for Fest Fun with the Shamrock and Fun Run. Take a spin in the High Nelly Bike Rally, or ride the wind in the Celtic Cruise Motorcycle Ride. Enjoy this 3-day event with the purchase of one pass only, and bring the whole family. Ages 15 and younger get in for free. Military, police, firefighters, and first responders receive free admission with a service ID. Get your Iowa Irish Fest passes at select Waterloo businesses or online at iowairishfest.com. Sign up to be a volunteer at iowairishfest.com too. See you in downtown Waterloo, August 5th through 7th for that 16th annual Iowa Irish Fest.
I can't believe she's making me move again. This better be the last time.
Caught in a move? Blue Line Moving and Storage has your back.
Honey, make sure you pack Grandma's china right.
Feeling overwhelmed? Let Blue Line Moving take over. Full service, local, and long distance moving.
If I have to pack one more box, I'm gonna...
Oh, and honey, pack the toilet paper last. It'll be the first thing we need.
Yes, honey.
Well, if I could only find the remote.
Request a free estimate at BlueLineMoving.com. Don't break your back. Let Blue Line Moving and Storage do the work.
This is Brian Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Heads up, sports bettors. Right now you can try VSiN All Access free for 30 days with no credit card required. Visit vsin.com/freemonth to sign up now. Here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
As of July 4, 2022, World Series odds still had the Dodgers at the top, along with the Yankees at plus 400, the Houston Astros at plus 600, the Mets plus 700, and the Blue Jays and Braves each at plus 1200. Rory McIlroy, favorite to win another major at plus 900 to take the Open Championship, getting underway a week from Thursday. John Rahm, Justin Thomas, and Scottie Scheffler each at plus 1200, and Cameron Smith and Colin Morikawa each at plus 1600. Cubs at the Brewers tonight. Chicago a plus 120 money line underdog on the road. Milwaukee at minus 149 the set total. White Sox minus 128 at home against the Twins at plus 118.
I'm Trey Westerberg, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Overcast tonight with a slight chance for scattered storms. Lows around 68. Easterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Highs around 80. Cloudy skies expected. Mainly cloudy tomorrow night. Chance for scattered thunderstorms 67. Chance for scattered storms Friday with highs in the low 80s. Mainly sunny Saturday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now it's 82.
Welcome back to Cole and Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back to a Wednesday edition of Cole and Company here on The Fan. And as we like to do from time to time, we get our guy Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register to join us and talk baseball. And there's always a good reason to bring Tommy on no matter what. But here we go. Commissioner Rob Manfred, everybody's favorite commissioner, and in exclusive to ESPN today, was quoted as saying that he wants to bring in the banning of the defensive shift and also with the pitch clock before next season. So we're going to talk about that with Tommy. We'll also talk some Cubs like we always do. First things first, though, follow him on Twitter, at Tommy Burch. How you doing today, Mr. Burch?
I'm hanging in there. I'm battling a little bit of a cold, but I'm willing to power through it just for you.
I know that you know, like I know, the difference between being injured and hurt, and guys like us, Tommy, we play hurt.
All the time, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty much day-to-day.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all? Okay. Hey, let's start with the Cubs, because I want to ask you about what the Seiya Suzuki show, albeit short-lived, was like at Principal Park in Des Moines.
It was wild. You know, he brought, a big crew with him. He had his interpreter, he had his trainer, I think seven members of Japanese news organizations were following him around. And, you know, and he really delivered, too. You know, every at-bat was a good at-bat. He worked counts. He hit balls hard. He had a homer in his first night. He signed autographs for everybody. He did the song and dance on and off the field and really, really looked the part. So it was a really fun show and really, really fun to get a good up-close look at him and see why there was so much excitement about him when it comes to the Cubs' long-term plan.
He's one of those guys, Tommy, where as someone who is kind of beyond the average baseball fan, I like to read about the prospects. That's a large part why I love talking about the Iowa Cubs with you is, you know, what's next, what's coming down the pipe here in terms of prospects. I think there's still some prospect label that's attached to Seiya Suzuki. I see a guy who after maybe a couple years in a Western American strength and conditioning program with a frame like his, that he could put some good weight, some good muscle on, and that a guy who's already a rather top-shelf baseball player, at the very least in Asia, could turn into something pretty special. Long story short, I'm saying, seems like there's a good floor there with Seiya Suzuki, but, you know, just how high might the ceiling be?
Yeah, I mean, the intangibles are certainly there, as you saw with the inside the park home run. He's got the speed, and then with the actual homer the other night, he's got some power. Obviously, I think the most intriguing piece of it when it comes to Suzuki is just his overall approach at the plate. As a guy that will really work counts and really only take swings at what he deems are very hittable pitches, and that's something that's been sorely missing from the Chicago Cubs lineup at times over the last couple of years. So, yeah, I mean, just based off of what he has already shown makes you believe that, like, man, if he only gets better, he has that superstar potential in him.
Tommy Burch, Des Moines Register, our guest right now on a Wednesday edition of the show. Tommy, Seiya Suzuki, not the only big leaguer making a abbreviated rehab stint with the Iowa Cubs. Marcus Stroman, I know, recently made a rehab start. Didn't last very long. Tommy, I, with all due respect to Marcus, I hate to say this, but if I'm being honest with myself, I'm getting some Edwin Jackson vibes here. Can you talk me off the ledge?
Yeah, I mean, it's still early, and I would say when, you know, at times this season, he has kind of shown some, albeit very minimal, flashes of some of that potential. But, look, I think it's safe to say he is just not going to be a frontline starter that he used to be, and probably what many fans hope he would be when the Chicago Cubs signed him. Now, we'll say when it comes to his rehab assignment with the Iowa Cubs, you know, you take that with a grain of salt. The most important thing is kind of getting out there and just getting on the mound. The line did not look good, 2 2/3 innings, 7 hits, 5 runs. But to me, it was almost a little deceiving. You know, I thought he attacked the strike zone pretty well. He got some really soft contact, too. So he really wasn't hit as badly as kind of line shows. But in the grand scheme of things, five runs against Triple-A hitters, and it's still something to potentially worry about, but something that the Cubs don't seem that concerned about, because he had private jet waiting for him to take him to Milwaukee right after the game. So for better or for worse or whatever, he is going to be back up in Chicago right now pitching.
Well, apparently not just yet, because Kyle Hendricks went down after last night's game, left the start early with a strained shoulder, and very quickly went on the IL. And the call-up was Anderson Espinoza from AA, not Caleb Killian. So I suppose maybe that has to do with, no, Stroman's still on somewhat of a schedule to get back in time. We don't need two starters, and Vizcaino can kind of be your long mop-up guy.
Yeah, and I think part of the deal when it comes to Caleb Killian is, you know, I think they've still got some things they want him to work on in AAA. I think all about the first couple of times coming up was kind of getting his feet wet. I never really thought that any of his promotions, I did think maybe the second promotion had the possibility to be more long-term, but I think the first one was just about getting his feet wet. Now it's about fine-tuning some stuff, getting ready to go back up, where the next time he goes up, the hope is he isn't coming back down. So I think that means kind of extending him out a little bit more in AAA, attacking the zone a little bit more, and just throwing more strikes specifically with his fastball.
Tommy, all right, let's dig in on the big news today. Like I said earlier, an exclusive story at ESPN where they spoke with MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred, and he told them that the implementation of a pitch clock and banning the defensive shift is going to be something that he aims to put in place before next season, the 2023 season. How about let's start with the pitch clock? I know we've talked about it before. You've seen some positive things. You've also seen not so positive things as it relates to the fact when it was not enforced, when there was limited enforcement, however you want to characterize that. I'm of the thought that you cannot put this in place and then do a limited enforcement with Major League Baseball players and then try to turn on a dime in 2024, a year later, and go, okay, guys, this, I mean, we are enforcing this. I mean, they got to do this right.
Absolutely, and that was kind of the big problem when it came to Minor League Baseball, is that when it first came out, it was like, okay, we're enforcing it, but then as time kind of moved on, then it kind of slipped away. It kind of reminded me of college football or college basketball, where they have these rules of points of emphasis early on in the season that they're going to enforce for the first part of the season. You see it being done, but as time kind of goes on throughout the season, you tend to kind of go back to your old ways. But Minor League Baseball has done a really good job so far this season, really enforcing the pitch clock and has shown dramatic improvements. I'll say this, like, I'm a big fan of the pace of play clock, the pitch clock, because the games are just moving along at a better rate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it actually adds something more intriguing to the game, where it gives some, you know, fans something else to watch, pay attention to during some key moments in games. I've seen fans that kind of count down the clock, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Almost like a shot clock. So it could add another dynamic to the game, but you're 100% right. It's got to be enforced or it's not going to work. And we've seen when it's enforced, it works really well.
Okay, on the other hand, I think there's probably more dissension. There's not necessarily as much of a majority as it relates to banning the shift. What's kind of the vibe you get from baseball people you talk to? And when you say banning the shift, that's too blanket, because I would imagine, Tommy, it's not going to be like a three-sentence ban. Like, there's going to be some particulars involved here. What do you get from people around baseball about the vibe about it, and then ultimately, in which way or ways do you think it's going to be quote-unquote banned?
Yeah, I think kind of the basic principles of it that I've kind of understood and kind of heard, and who knows what actually going to be, is basically two infielders on both sides of the bag and basically limiting it that way. But, you know, this is something that I think people around baseball have kind of taken the approach of, like, okay, you know, we have given the game a ton of time to kind of roll back. And what I mean roll back is you kind of see the game fix itself. I don't want to say police itself, but fix mm-hmm. itself, where eventually guys were going to start going the other way and they were going to force teams to stop shifting as much as they do. But look, it's been a long time. It just hasn't happened. And I think now baseball is stepping in saying, okay, we're going to do something. We gave you guys a chance, and now we're going to do it. And it's going to change things drastically when it comes to especially how you identify starting pitching. Guys like Kyle Hendricks, most notably, who I look at as a guy that pitches to contact all the time and who benefits immensely from defensive positioning, how much value are you going to look at that guy, those pitchers, yeah, moving forward, knowing that you can no longer potentially position yourself to benefit them greatly? So it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out from a game standpoint, but just an evaluation standpoint as well.
And when you mention the evaluation standpoint, how will franchises evaluate amateur and college hitters who are maybe dead pull guys now with a shift ban in place? And how might they want to develop hitters differently in their organization once they're in there as a result of the ban of the shift? So that's one of those things where I think to really speak about it with any certainty of its, you know, net positive or net negative on the game, you might have to wait a decade before you really figure out, Tommy, if the juice was quote-unquote worth the squeeze.
Absolutely, yeah, it's going to take some time, but I think we've also got the ability to see some, potentially some drastic, you know, impacts on it right away as well.
A couple more minutes here with Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register. Tommy, the last big thing in the story from ESPN talking with Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred was that, okay, you know, he wants to do the pitch clock and ban the shift before next season, but before the 2024 season, he would like to see some form of robotic umpires in the game. I mean, I suppose this is all inevitable, so, you know, it's going to keep Angel Hernandez off of viral moments on social media. So I suppose that's a good thing, because really nobody at this point in our world wants to see their team lose on a call that technology can fix.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where we're getting, especially when it comes to gambling and how much it's coming into play and how much baseball and other sports are embracing it, knowing, okay, there's a potential to fix this issue and take some pressure off the umpires. Now, to me, the interesting thing is going to be how much do you keep umpires still part of the game in terms of balls and strikes? Because my understanding is, obviously, you're still going to have somebody behind home plate that's going to have to call the balls and strikes when it gets relayed to them. They're going to have to watch for check swings, box, plays at the plate, stuff like that. But then the other part is they're going to be relied on in case a pitch doesn't register. And I think that's putting umpires in a very, very difficult decision where you're being asked to just essentially rely on technology for a couple of hundred pitches a game. And then if the technology breaks down the bottom of the ninth with two outs on a 3-2 pitch, now you've got to be in tip-top shape and call the exact pitch right away. I think that's going to be very difficult. But from a lot of people I've talked to throughout independent league ball who have experienced the robot umpires firsthand before it made its way into minor league baseball this season, is that the technology made gigantic leaps from year one to year two. And a lot of those viral moments that you're seeing of a ball is being called strikes or kind of disappearing and will potentially get only better as time goes on and as it makes its way throughout baseball.
Tommy, do we know if maybe next year, 2023, we'll see the robot strike zone in affiliated minor league baseball?
We are seeing it right now in parts of Triple A baseball. It's just not it. I believe it's in the Pacific Coast League right now, but not in the International League where the Iowa Cubs are playing right now. So to me, that's about as good of a sign as it comes that it's going to make its way to Major League Baseball. Because usually when rules, how this thing usually works is rules that are being tested out go to indie ball, make their way up through affiliated ball, and if it works from there, then it goes to the major league level as well.
Tommy, playing hurt, I think you brought one of your best performances ever. You're the man.
Oh, man, I'm proud.
You should be. Paul Rhodes level proud.
Paul Rhodes level proud. I love that. That's big time.
That's why you keep coming on this show, because I can drop a Paul Rhodes level of proud on you.
I can hear that in my sleep, though.
I bet you can. Too many years on the beat. Tommy, great stuff, dude. Take care, feel better, and we'll catch up again soon, man.
Thanks for having me.
Tommy Burch, Des Moines Register, kind enough to join us on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. A lot to unpack there in that interview with Tommy. We'll do it in the next segment. We will also talk about college football conference realignment. The intern, of course, David Warrington, alongside today. So we'll dig into a little bit of this and that after the break here. Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim coming up on the other side. As I mentioned, we talk about the shift, the pitch clock, the robot strike zone, and more, the latest on college football and I suppose just college athletics conference realignment. Stay tuned. Wednesday edition of Cole & Company continues right after this.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Cleanup is underway at Principal Park in Des Moines, which suffered extensive damage during Tuesday night's storm. Sam Burnaby is president and general manager of the Iowa Cubs and says a temporary batter's eye blew over and took out a chunk of the center field wall.
We're going to take the week to repair it. We developed a plan this morning, and now everybody is executing the plan, and we'll need a few days to put it back together. If the team had been in town playing, we probably would have had trouble playing it for a couple of days.
The iCubs are in Indianapolis. They'll return home next Tuesday to play Buffalo. After a day off, the Cedar Rapids Colonels continue a Midwest League series against the Quad Cities. And Iowa basketball coach Fran McCaffrey has named Tristan Spurlock as the Hawkeyes' new director of player development. He spent the last 9 years playing professionally overseas. This is Radio Iowa.
To buy your home, you became a house hunting ace. Learned about loans, scoured neighborhoods, and asked the right questions. Now you're queen of your castle. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll feel empowered to own your retirement like you own your home. go to aceyourretirement.org. Because when it comes to clearing financial hurdles, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
It's time for Unfolding Futures. Here's Akwienji.
The temps are hot, the fireworks are flying, and at Waterloo Schools, our students are sizzling with excitement as the summer learning continues. This summer, students from 21 different schools will be attending Camp Invention, a fantastic week-long STEM camp offering hands-on activities incorporating science, technology, engineering, math, and the arts. And the 2022 Middle School Career Technical Education Camp was a huge success. Students entering 6th through 8th grade were able to experience different Waterloo Career Center programs with hands-on activities and exposure to possible careers. And our summer athletes are knocking it out of the park. Congratulations to those athletes. At Waterloo Schools, our students are award-winning athletes, thespians, musicians, and more. And they're enjoying the summer with a variety of camps, extracurricular activities, and summer learning. Visit us online at waterlooschools.org. Again, that's waterlooschools.org.
Feel like a kid again with Waverly Utilities. Faster internet is like a new toy. Remember how thrilled you were when you got a new scooter or remote-controlled car? Feel like a kid again by treating yourself to a new internet plan with Waverly Utilities. With speeds up to 10 gigabytes, you can play through your day with endless excitement. Call now to get enrolled with new internet from Waverly Utilities.
Making life better.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free.
You are listening to the one-stop shop for local and statewide sports talk. Cole and Company with Cole Bear. Weekday afternoons from 5 to 6 on The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Wednesday edition of the show rolls on. Thanks to Tommy Birch for joining the show today, and David, listening to Tommy talk about the what seems to be inevitable pitch clock and shift ban coming to Major League Baseball in 2023. I was against banning the shift, and I think in a little bit of conversation we had before the show that you're in the same place, or maybe we're in the same place. I mean, so let's just start there. Like, where are you at as a you are the exception. You are a young baseball fan. Like, Rob Manfred should be sending you a Christmas card every year and doing everything he can in his power to make sure that you do not become disenchanted with the sport. So how do you feel about Rob Manfred's plan for a shift ban?
Honestly, I'm not too strong one way or the other about the shift. I would say I'm against it, but I'm not like passionately one way or the other. My thinking is, if a team wants to line up one way and they get hurt by it or something like that, I mean, that's the team's responsibility and they're taking that risk.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I wouldn't say I'm super strong on it one way or the other, but I am against it.
Now, once again, I'm not trying to purposely point out that you're the young guy here in this conversation. I'm not. But do you remember how the NBA used to have the illegal defense?
Not really. Okay. Vaguely, but not specifically.
You would have been really young when this happened. I can't recall the year just out of my head. But you couldn't play zone defense in the NBA. Like, all for me growing up. And I don't think that changed until right around the time I graduated high school. So 2008-ish, probably. Because I know it was legal by the time that the Mavericks beat the Heat when they had the big three in that finals. Because Rick Carlisle and the Mavericks played zone. in that series, and it did a number against the Heat, obviously, you know, with the benefit of hindsight. But so at least around then was when it when that happened. And at the time, you know, a lot, I make the joke all the time, I'm one of 19 NBA fans in the state of Iowa, but it was hard to grasp. You're like, well, it's just always been that way. Like, why are you changing it? And that's kind of what I'm not trying to fall victim to with the shift ban, because if you would ask me a year and a half, 2 years ago, I was against it. But if it's going to bring a little more offense to the game, the other thing too, I just remember growing up on SportsCenter, you were always looking forward to that play up the middle that the second baseman or the shortstop would dive and, you know, reverse spin or, you know, throw off a knee or, you know, whatever it was. You don't see that highlight anymore because of the shift. The shift has killed some of those highlights. And if we know anything about the younger generation and how they're consuming their sports, you know, the NBA's huge because a lot of the content is not necessarily watching the game. It's following the athletes on Twitter, player movement, and the highlights. And so I think there's more at stake here than simply how it impacts the game itself. But as Tommy pointed out, the change could be seismic with the shift ban. And it'll change how organizations acquire talent, scout talent, acquire talent, and develop talent. And I think with respect to this decision, it needs to be evaluated over probably a decade at least, which is, goes against everything that humans are these days. But I'm for it. You're you know, riding the fence, which, I mean, if we're grading your internship right now and if you're going to be a sports talk host, you got to be on one side or the other of an issue, David. Come on. You know this. And then when it comes to the pitch clock, I'm all for it. I don't know how anybody could be against it. I don't need to see Nomar Garciaparra touching his wristbands 27 times and then, you know, all of them readjusting their cups and everything. Like, the game can be played with better pace.
Absolutely.
And if it takes a pitch clock to do it, then so be it. And go figure that it will, because these baseball players are creatures of habit. So they're going to have to get their arms twisted. But you listen to Tommy talk about the, you know, just how it really helps the game and it helps the fan. And I'm really looking forward to that, that part of it. Also, real quick here, just a couple more minutes until we take the final timeout, but have not seen you since UCLA and USC decided to jump ship from the Pac-12 for the stacks of cash that's there for them in the Big Ten. Like, what did you think when you first saw that news?
That was a total shock to me. I specifically remember I was coming home from something. I got back to my apartment. I get out of my car and my watch, I see an ESPN breaking news. I'm like, oh, I wonder what this is. And it says USC and UCLA. I'm like, where did that come from? Because there's usually rumbles about stuff before it happens, but I heard nothing until all of a sudden it's like USC and UCLA are headed to the Big Ten.
Yeah, you got to credit the people involved in that, because only like a few of the best college football reporters were able to put that out there what I think was like 3 hours before it became official. So great job by all those at the Big Ten and USC and UCLA for keeping that under wraps, because if you're somebody in the Pac-12, you would have had all the reason to leak that and try to get some public pushback against it and maybe try to at least slow down whatever was happening, get back in a room with UCLA and USC and lay out a plan for them. And that, I think that's why, that has to be why it was able to stay so quiet. Like, UCLA, USC did not want to hear another, what I'm sure they were assuming, like, pathetic plea as to why they should stay in the Pac-12. And, you know, I said this yesterday that, and this probably speaks to how grim things are for the Pac-12, that the only way I think that they could survive was you add UNLV, San Diego State, get back to 12, you're a regional conference. You can't be a regional conference anymore if you want to survive. Only teams out there to get in good television markets, SMU and Dallas Arlington, UTSA in San Antonio, Tulane in New Orleans, and I'd take Louisiana Lafayette because they're just good. And you're at 16, but you're not the prettiest girl in the super, at the super conference dance, right, David?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I tell you what, I don't know, Big 12, ACC, somebody's going to end up with these Pac-12 schools, and I don't know how the American survives it either. It feels like there's some sort of reorganization that happens there, but just get your popcorn ready, because this has been really, really interesting to watch. All right, let's take this last time out here, NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. We'll come back, wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Taylor Bisciotti with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The rumors that the Seattle Seahawks might soon be up for sale appear to be greatly exaggerated, according to team chair Jody Allen. In a statement, Allen said, quote, as chair of both the Portland Trailblazers and the Seattle Seahawks, my long-term focus is building championship teams that our communities are proud of. As we've stated before, neither of the teams is for sale, and there are no sales discussions happening. Robert Griffin III took a sabbatical last season to focus on TV work, but the former Heisman Trophy winner is ready to put his broadcast career on hold if an NFL team calls. RG3 telling KTWX in Waco, Texas, quote, I am ready to go right now. I know what it takes to get my body ready, and I'm doing those things. So if I get that call this year, next year, or 5 years from now, I will be ready to play. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
A crying baby is impossible to ignore, but a quiet baby can be easy to forget. Every year, dozens of children lose their lives because otherwise attentive adults forgot they were in the back seat. It only takes a moment for a car to heat up to dangerous levels, even on cooler days. So get in the habit of always looking in the back seat and use reminders to ensure baby is always with you. Where's baby? Look before you lock. Paid for by NHTSA.
Dayton B100 V-Belt, one of the many parts Granger carries. It's also the item that helped Rob carry the day. The job was on hold, deadline fast approaching, but a quick search on Granger.com and Rob found his part. And with same day pickup at his local branch, he and his crew got the job done safely and on time. Get supplies and solutions for every industry with real-time product availability. Call, clickgranger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Over the last couple of years, the Yankees' Aaron Judge has become a household name. He's a rare blend of size and speed and power, but throughout his time in pinstripes, while he's been a difference maker, he's also had a long history of injuries. That's made the Yankees a little bit more cautious in regards to a potential extension. Just before opening day, he turned down a 7-year, $213 million deal. Many people believe that was a mistake. The contract would have made Judge the second highest paid outfielder on a yearly basis. But he decided to bet on himself, and as of right now, it's working. He's come out of the gate on fire this year. Three-time All-Star, leading the league in home runs, and his contributions have helped the Yankees achieve the best record in baseball. He's got a long way to go this season, so it's impossible to say how Judge will fare the rest of the year. But if the All-Star can continue this hot streak and stay on the field, that gamble is going to pay off in a very, very big way. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Hey, Hollywood, scout these superstars. Brains, beauty, and the attitude to pull off anything. The 2022 Mercedes-Benz SUV family has already made a name for itself. There's the Triple Threat GLC, the optional third row GLB, the impressively innovative GLE, the stylish and strong GLA, and the brilliant and cutting-edge Mercedes-Benz GLS. Every SUV is a star in its own right with standout tech and safety innovations from MBUX voice-activated technology to the pre-safe collision response feature that initiates passenger protection measures in a matter of seconds. Each model is in a class of its own. The family takes turns turning heads. Brains, beauty, athleticism, all they need now is for you to drive them off the lot. The breakthrough 2022 Mercedes-Benz SUV family. Test drive one of the most impressive vehicles at your local dealer or learn more at mbusa.com.
You're listening to Cole and Company with Colbert, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back for a final time. And guess what? I'm giving away more free breaks. National Brake Center in Waterloo, partnering with Cole and Company and 1650 The Fan. The keyword today, you go online, 1650thefan.com. You'll see National Brake Center's logo right there, smack dab on the homepage. And you enter the keyword Tigers today. The keyword is Tigers. You just go to the website, you look for that post with National Brake Center, enter the keyword, and you'll have a chance to win free brakes, sans rotors, for your vehicle. That is one of those things you pay for in life that is just a necessary evil. And I'm going to try and help you get it for free. 1650thefan.com. Keyword today is Tigers. National Brake Center, free brakes from our guys there in Waterloo. Thanks to everybody for listening to today's show. Thank you, Tommy Birch. Back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.